All right, we've got our main man, JD, on the line. James Duffy, our TSN Hockey Super Bowl host. He's on his way down to Arizona soon, and he joins us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, JD?
What's going on, gentlemen? What are you slandering me for today?
Ooh. Oh, do you want to field that?
No, I would like you to ask him about your... There's a future broadcaster that you automatically think is going to be garbage, so ask another broadcaster.
That's not what I said. But wait,
go ahead.
He wants to address the slander. All right, fine. Forget the slander. You're not allowed to. We can't talk to you about it because it's about you. So when you're on, we're not allowed to talk about
it. That's fair.
The slander. I think that's fair. I have an opinion of Tom Brady as a broadcaster that I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to be great. Like, I don't expect him to be great. I've never at any point in his career have I said, I want to hear more from Tom Brady. He doesn't have the same draw that Peyton Manning did. I think that Aaron Rodgers does, that Tony Romo does. And O's claiming that that is an illegal take. Not fair. You can't have it for whatever reason. But where do you stand on that?
Anybody who's going to prejudge Brady that he's going to be a failure before you've seen him speak on television should never be hosting their own program, let alone nationally on television or radio.
Right.
I may have been prompted to say that by a text before the conversation
started. What a jerk. What an idiot.
Attaboy. Yes, the honesty is there. Listen, he may be great. I'm not saying definitively he won't be.
I remember you guys had this conversation last year.
Yes.
When you retired. And I'm sort of in the middle, which is terrible talk radio, but it's funny, though, how you judge these guys. Like, when Tony Romo started, I think the first 4 or 5 weeks of Tony Romo, most people thought this was the greatest analyst in the history of the game, or that he was going to challenge John Madden, because he was calling every play before it happened, and he had this great energy with Nance. And I think it's turned a little bit on Tony Romo, particularly this year. I felt that personally, and I feel that. I've had conversations with other people that I don't think he works hard enough. I don't think maybe he prepares, and the whole idea of him calling plays has kind of worn off, and I think he says some kind of ludicrous things now. And so
like what? What does he say that's ludicrous?
Well, he's just dead wrong on certain things. If you go, like, search on Twitter, somebody put, like, a compilation together. Like, he just says some things that are, like, he's just completely off on, rules or calls.
Jimmy, he says things. What you're describing is a guy that maybe he's not doing his homework, and he's got to come up with something, and he's just like, yeah, maybe that was, I don't know.
That's what he does, and he's like, I can't wait. This is going to be so amazing. This is going to be something that just could happen. This could happen. They're down 28-0, but it could happen. They could score 31 in the next 7 minutes, Jimmy. I don't know. That's what I get from him. And I don't turn off the TV when Romo's on. It's just, I think the build up from when he started to where he is now is not quite the same, and I find myself, appreciating, guys like Olsen who are just, more just analyze the game really well. So that's just a long winded way of saying that if Brady does this, I'm still not sure he will. If he sucks at the beginning, that won't mean he'll suck forever. I think the guy is probably so competitive that he'll want to be great at it. There's another example, though. Like, Drew Brees was kind of a disaster on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid him a lot of money and just, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and he just said nothing. Now, part of that was, I think, the NBC format was very conservative back then. So I don't think he'll be a disaster, Hazy, but I don't think there's a guarantee he's going to be the greatest broadcaster ever because he's the greatest quarterback ever either. So I think that's fair on your assessment.
Exactly.
So.
Like, there's just because you were great at as a quarterback, it doesn't like John Madden didn't play the game.
No, but I was saying is that Brady is so smart in everything he's done, and he's so competitive that I think he will. I think he'll be decent. I don't think he'd let himself be as bland and boring as he's been in news conferences
He can't be. Like, if he is,
I guess what the guy does 24/7 if he's not playing football, he watches it. So he knows he knows what's good and what's not. And I think that he would have, like this guy, he would get a team together and say, how do I do this? How would you approach that? and he'll have practice if he wants to take it seriously.
You know what else, O, is that there is just some, there's so much weight when it's the GOAT talking that even if he's not as polished or as exciting as others, it matters more. And I think you can draw a parallel to Gretzky. When TNT hired Wayne, I think there was a lot of people in the business that went, I don't know, Wayne's not exactly, you know, he's not O-Dog, or he's not Biz Nasty. He might be pretty bland out there. But I find Wayne, when he's on there, he's not on very much, really good, because he has great stories, and because he's Wayne Gretzky, any little thing he says carries weight. So I think that would be the same for Brady, that he doesn't necessarily have to be, if he's an analyst, the best guy ever, if he's a studio guy, the best guy ever, but you will, that guy should have better stories and better, you know, examples of things, of situations he's been in than anybody who's ever done it before, so.
I agree. That's where I was going to go. Like, to me, the weight of having Tom Brady, like, I want to hear, because if I was coaching him, I would just say, tell me a story. You've been in that situation. What were you thinking? What, you know, what's the thought process? Because that's what fans want to hear.
Or Noodles, if at a certain situation he says, there's no way in hell you can throw that pass right there at that time in the game, people at home will know he's dead serious.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yes, but again, here I am. I'm the guy who's hating on Tom Brady for some reason, but it's not a reality.
And you played in the OHL.
No, but that's nothing to do with it. Is, like, the last 20 years, he's also been, you know, Mr. America, corporate spokesperson, really hasn't, you know, done, you know, a couple things in his personal life, but he hasn't really stepped out of line with anything he said. And so there will be a transition there if he does it, you know, with whatever his producer, executive producer is to say, you can't be that guy anymore. Like, you're going to have to rip on guys sometimes, and we need more of that personality out of you. But I think we've seen it enough in certain places.
Well,
that you could probably bring it out.
It's also about the amount of games. You know, you mentioned Gretzky, and I happened to be down in the States last year during the outdoor game when Toronto was playing Buffalo and Hamilton, and Gretzky was in the booth for that game. And I want to say it was Eddie O, might have been Keith Jones. I think Kenny Albert was making the call. And the whole thing was about Gretzky. But it was a one-off. Hey, tell us about growing up in Brantford. Hey, Gretz, when you came into Toronto, you can't do that week four, Panthers-Bears. You know, like, at some point, it can't be, hey, Tommy, tell us about when you won a Super. You got to, he's analyzing, you know, like, so it is, it's not just story time for three. He's not the game, right?
Well,
like, it's not
Wayne,
Tom Brady's game.
Wayne is smart enough to know that, and to know that maybe he wasn't going to sit there, you know, like Noodles does, and watch every single game and know every single team. And so that's why he signed up for, you know, 25 dates a year or whatever. So that most of the time, you know, if he's only on once or twice a month, that you can do a lot of that storytelling and add an opinion either here or there on situations, but you don't have to be, you know, the guy that's breaking down everything. And so maybe Brady does something like that, but it's tough on NFL. Studio might be a better spot for him that way, if he doesn't want to put in the work, because you can sit there on the panel and come up with two stories, three stories a day, and be fine, right?
Jim, you're pretty good at predicting the future. Do you think Giselle sends a text late and says, "You up?" Question mark. Tell me, Jim, what you think.
I thought it was interesting that the photo he posted on Instagram after his little video today. And by the way, I was like, I love Brady. I appreciate, as a guy who's covered most of his Super Bowls, I think I covered every one of his wins except for one, and at least a couple of his losses. I was sick of covering Brady in the Super Bowl. I was just sick of it. It was the same. You just want new stories. And I would cheer for him to lose in the last years, because I just didn't. It was as much Belichick as Brady in the Patriots years, but you just wanted something fresh, and I was just tired of it. But I knew at the same time that I was witnessing something that, you know, in 20 years or whatever, when I'm old and golfing every day, that I'll be like, man, I saw the greatest guy ever. Like, I was smart enough to appreciate him, even though I was sick of him. You know what I mean? So when he put out his little video today, like, I hated the whole thing last year, where it was this big, massive thing, and then he changed, like, 3 weeks later or something. So I did have a little bit of admiration today that he just did that little 20-second video and said, see you later. So I thought that was very mature of Tom.
But you didn't answer the question. Do you think
what
he
was
gets
it?
A text?
Giselle.
Giselle.
You don't have Giselle. To
oh, sorry. Sorry. I got sidetracked, as I always do. I thought it was, what I was starting to say is I thought it was interesting that he posted the full family photo
mm-hmm.
on that post with Giselle in it. Like, she wasn't cropped. You know, he could have. I'm sure he
is
has
that
photos
a bat signal, Jimmy?
Kid.
Is that a bat signal?
Might no, be. I think that that's 100% a bad signal that, you know, I've done it for you. I'm back. Let's give this one more try.
Yeah, I agree with
yes.
you. I agree. There were actually multiple pictures with Giselle in there where if there was acrimony, there's no way he's posting pics. Like, there's no way. So I think there might be something to that.
But I still wonder, okay, and this was rolling through my head the last week after what happened with my Niners. Like, I still wonder, you know, week 10, Trey Lance goes down for his ninth surgery in 2 years, and Brock Purdy gets a dislocated shoulder, and the Niners have the best defense and offense in the NFL. You know, does the call go out?
Yes, it will.
Yeah, that's
one,
right.
One more shot.
It will. It will.
Gronk, his hometown the Gronk
team. Yep.
Stop it.
It will. He may
it's
not
ridiculous.
Answer it, but that call's being made, I guarantee you, with James Duffy. So we were talking about Gary Bettman's 30th anniversary is today as the commissioner. And we're talking about the physicality in the sport, and you've been covering it closely for a long time. I believe that that factors in significantly to the way people feel about the regular season in particular. Playoffs is still amazing. And the playoffs is still intense, and everything's on the line, and it is physical, it's wild, it's crazy, rivalry spark in the first period of game one. But without that element of physicality and craziness and the uncertainty of what you're about to see in the regular season, I think it has hurt the league. Do you believe in that theory?
Yes, although I also think that overall the game is better than it's ever been. And so I don't think you can watch hockey games on a nightly basis and say that's definitely a huge missing element. But the actual excitement of the games because of the offense, the ability for teams to come back from three goals down in the third period or whatever, I think is better than it's ever been. And I don't want to start us longing for, you know, the 90s or something where I think if you went back and watched the games, you know, besides all the fights and the fact there were more hits, there was a lot of really crappy hockey games in there with trapping and clutching and grabbing and all those things. So I don't want to start yearning for the good old days. I wish there was some happy combination where we could still get a little more of that intensity and still get the skill that we have. Because you're right, we should be able to have a little bit of both instead of having one or the other, which is a bit of a problem. A couple thoughts. I'm sure you've talked about this, but I think the playoff format has been a huge failure and the opposite of what they desired, you know, beyond travel, which I think was the main part of this. They wanted to cut down travel, particularly for the Western Conference teams. You know, they talked about developing these new rivalries. And I don't think, do you feel like Tampa Toronto is some great rivalry because
No.
they're going to play again in the playoffs this year? Now, part of that's probably because Toronto hasn't won, but I don't feel that at all. And I don't feel that any of these guys that are playing in, I think that going back to 1 versus 8 would really help the situation. One other thing, and I'm not sure if it was the ratings in the States that came out today that prompted your conversation, but one thing, and just whenever, like ratings, that was a big drop that I saw today, but ratings are going to go down forever now. And whenever I see people that don't really follow television talking about ratings, it's apples and oranges because so many people have cut cable over the years and so many people are watching either on their phones, which they still haven't figured out a way to calculate properly, mm-hmm. or watching on illegal streams. And so, you know, like World Juniors, for example, I think the Connor McDavid year, we had 7 million or something for the gold medal game. We will never get that again. We will never get that again because there's not enough people that are paying for cable anymore. And that's just the way it's going to continue to go. So, if ratings are up in something in any sport, then that's a huge story because they're just going to continue to drop in basically every sport, not because of the quality of the entertainment, but just because people are finding other ways to watch.
Right. And on top of that, that doesn't mean there still aren't 7 million people watching.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, the gold medal game at this year's World Juniors, I don't think that there was an eyeball less watching.
I agree.
Than was watching the Connor McDavid one in 2000 and whatever it was, 16.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the, you know, whatever it is, it goes from 7 million to 3.9 million or something. The same number of people are watching that. It's
yep.
just, the metrics of measuring and the how people are watching are different. So
yeah, they're looking...
I'm always leery of story about falling ratings that there's that much wrong with whatever the sport is.
I think there's certainly validity to that, and there's different elements like streaming, to your point, and finding it in different capacities, which don't come up in conversations like this.
But you're not wrong that the NHL has a buzz problem. It's tied into the cap and trades when you compare it to something like the NBA when stars are moving every year. Now we don't even have buzz about, this year might be okay because there's certain names out there, but the lack of trades that happen, the lack of talk around trades and what you were talking about, there's just a lack of general lack of animosity out there.
Yeah.
Even Brad Marchand is nice most of the time now.
Well,
yeah.
That's where I wanted
to go.
What do you make of his comments and him having a little bit of... We thought it was a little bit of fun and good platform to him for him.
Which
to
one?
Kinda,
the thing with Marner today or whatever?
Yeah, the Marner.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I've come around on him a lot. Like, I was, like a lot of people, tired of, back in the licking days and when he was getting suspended every season, I was tired of his act. But I've warmed up to him over the past few years. I think he's cleaned up a lot of the nonsense, and I think he's funny. Like, he's genuinely funny, and we need more characters like him. Even if you're a Leaf fan and you want to hate him, great, because he's a little bit clever with some of those things, and there are not enough guys to do it. So, I've done a bit of a 180 on Marchand.
Yeah, that was, he's joking about Marner and what Marner's talking about on the ice, but he was being serious about, guys taking discounts. And a lot of people have pointed out the Bruins have not won a Stanley Cup in over 10 years, so it's not like this exact setup of their cap system has been successful recently. They went to a cup final and was it 13, I think, and they won the cup against Vancouver back in 2010. So it's been a long time since they actually had cup success, but he's not wrong in terms of his analysis that if you spread money over six players instead of three, I mean, do the math. I sound like that guy in Hamilton. Can I have pop?
I don't know how they've done it. Like, the Bruins' ability to get these guys to sign is something, right? Because today's athlete, why take a discount? Like, why would you? I suppose if you think you're a notch away from a cup and they beg with you and you've already got $50 million in the bank, so be it. But there's nothing wrong with Tavares or Marner or Austin Matthews getting as much money as they can, right? I'm fascinated by Boston's ability to get guys to take, a million or two less all the time, regularly, it seems.
Yeah, it certainly does, and we'll see. Pasternak is up next. We'll see how that one plays out. When are you off to Arizona?
Going Sunday with the gang, and really looking forward to it. I'm going to try and sneak into waste management for one day on Friday, like the media avails end, and so you can do a little double dip when the Super Bowl's in Phoenix, where you can get over to that craziness for an hour. I did it the last time the Super Bowl was in Phoenix, and that was one of the most ludicrous scenes. I sat at 16 by myself for 3 hours in that mayhem, and it was pure lunacy. So I'm going to take Kara Wegland over there on next Friday and introduce her to one of the goofiest scenes in sports.
Beautiful. Yeah, that'll be a good time. Well, enjoy yourself down there, buddy. I'm sure we'll catch up next week. Thank you for doing
us. Okay, for sure, guys. Take it easy.
There's James Duthie joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. I saw a video of a guy online who kind of did a mix, like a DJ mixing of Marty Wildwood, Our Boy in Hamilton, with Tall Boys. It is brilliant. Like, we got to play it at some point.
We do play it right now.
Well, we've got Jerry's coming up, so we will play it. All right, we will play it today. I think it's got to be something we're going to play whenever we do Role Play Level of Concern, which will happen next Wednesday. But we'll play it in the 6 p.m. hour because the beat is actually incredibly catchy and it's hysterical because it's Marty Wildwood.
5:45. We're hitting it.
All right, we're gonna play this, the newest music video that people are buzzing about around the world. So we'll get to that later this hour. Jerry's Percentages next.